Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we are continuing our trek through the Bible, and we are in Ezekiel. We left off last time at Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 1, and we're going to jump right in. The Heavenly Father has a wonderful message for us today. Maybe a terrible message too. Again, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, and of course remember, the sword is a military conflict or an attack. Whenever you see the sword, that's military. Today that would be tanks and guns and bombs. Then it was horses and bucklers and shields and, swords, staves. When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But if he taketh warning, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, have I set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Then I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. Those are familiar words. Thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it. And when I say again unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he had committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. And you know what we have here again in Ezekiel, or one of several times, is we have the gospel story basically wrapped up in this. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You know, I believe that most of the corporate Christian church out there, they like to make a division between the Old Testament and the New Testament, as if the work that Messiah doesn't apply before that. But this was, about 600 or so years before the Messiah came, when Ezekiel was writing this. And there were men that followed him, even in Israel. There were men that did not follow him. There were the wicked, even in national Israel, a nation that the Heavenly Father had parted out of the nations of the earth, of the families of the earth, that he had parted out for himself to work with, to be a light, and to be an example of both good and bad to the whole world for our benefit. And in that nation, there were men who turned from their wicked ways, and they heeded the good news, the gospel. That's right. Remember, he is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The same blood that covers us covered them. The same Redeemer would redeem them when their mortality came to an end, or did come to an end. The same Redeemer redeems us when our mortality comes to an end. The kingdom of heaven. I've never heard the nation of Israel, the nation of people that were called by his name, I've never heard of Israel or that Hebrew nation referred to as the kingdom of heaven. But the kingdom of heaven has always existed. It's a kingdom where men and women, starting with very Adam and Eve in the garden, when they stood before their high priest in obedience after terribly falling and receiving that death sentence, you shall surely die. That was the death sentence. But the Heavenly Father put a stay on the sentence. It was coming. They earned it. It was irrefutable, but they needed a grace period to take advantage of his plan for redemption. That very high priest who would sacrifice his own life. Remember, he said, when he was questioned, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He stood in the Garden of Eden after the fall of Adam and Eve. He stood before them, and he clothed them with the animal skins. Having made the sacrifice, he was their great high priest. And he is the great high priest that clothes us all in his righteousness. Of course, the blood of bulls and goats was a temporary covering instituted there, the sacrificial system. And they passed it on to their children, Adam and Eve, but they entered into his kingdom then. And they decided to live in his kingdom, to live a life of obedience to the Messiah, their great high priest. Right there, they accepted the deal, the Redeemer of mankind who would come, who would pay the price for their sins and cover them so that they would enter into the resurrection of life. And that same deal is available to every one of us today. And this is what Ezekiel is writing about, not in the same way that we have the gospel story revealed as the Messiah revealed to us, but it is here and we can see it. When you read through the Old Testament and understand it, this is what I see. I see the gospel. I see the Messiah. I see the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I see the great high priest who would sacrifice himself and shed his blood to clothe us in his righteousness. That's what I see. And that's what Ezekiel took advantage of. And all those who were obedient. Yes, there was a nation called Israel. They were the chosen people of God in the flesh, a nation of flesh and blood men and women, made an example. And most of them I would dare say, just like everyone else out there, most of them did not enter in. When the prophet questioned the Heavenly Father and he called on him and he cried, he said, "No one is listening to me." And I know how that feels. I feel like no one's listening to me either. So I know what that prophet was feeling. No one is listening to me. And the Heavenly Father said, "I have yet 7,000 in Israel." He had a remnant that obey his voice. And he always has his remnant in the earth. And we are the remnant today. Those of us who have entered into his kingdom, who have that true desire to live a life that is pleasing to him at any cost, even our very lives, because we know that there's nothing more important than enduring in his kingdom until our mortality ends. Because as you've heard me say 100 times, if not 1,000, if you are not in his kingdom, when your mortality comes to its end, you will not be in his kingdom forever. So we have Ezekiel warning the people. We have the Heavenly Father speaking through Ezekiel, said, "When the righteous turn from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die thereby." And I say, this is the gospel. And you can read this same gospel. The Messiah told it. He told it in a parable, the parable of the sower. The sower went out to sow, and he sowed seed. And some fell on rocky soil, some fell on dry, parched ground, some fell on good soil. And some of it sprung up, but because it wasn't watered, it withered away. And then he said all these things, like the cares of this life, the riches of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the pride of life. All these things come and rob the word, the seed, the word of God that is sowed in your heart. And then the end of your mortality comes and you find out you're not in his kingdom and you will not be in his kingdom forever. That's a very sad story, but unfortunately, that is the story of the majority. Make sure you're not one of them. You know, just Heavenly Father, let me be one that stands, that runs the race, that endures in your kingdom to the end, no matter what the cost. Because really, there is nothing more important. So he says, "But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby." That is repentance. Yeshua, our Messiah, when he began his ministry, he said, "Repent." That's repentance. Turn from your wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, and you will live. The kingdom is at hand. Enter is at kingdom. That's how you do it. The key to the kingdom. You want the key to the kingdom? It's called repentance. It fits in the lock at the border of his kingdom is repentance. You put it in, you turn the lock and you enter in and you continue therein. But if you turn from your righteousness, guess what? You're out by your own choice. He doesn't kick you out, but he doesn't lock you in. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 21. "And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, and in the 5th day of the month." About this time, Jerusalem had been in the siege 2 to 3 years, somewhere around there. Of course, Ezekiel prophesying from the river Chebar in the land of the Chaldeans, Babylon, in the settlement of the Hebrews there, that were taken captive 12 years earlier, as he says, in their settlement called Tel Aviv, but the one in Babylon, not the one over there in Israel today. So it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, and I believe it's the 10th month of their year, counting by the moon cycles, in the 5th day of the month, because they would still be keeping his calendar at that time, "that one had escaped out of Jerusalem and came unto me saying, the city is smitten." So the Heavenly Father allowed someone to escape the city in the siege and go to visit Ezekiel. Most of those that tried to escape the siege, you know, if they went out and surrendered to the king of Babylon, they would be taken captive and probably sent into servitude. If they didn't get caught, I guess they could go like and visit Ezekiel, or I don't know the circumstances, but I'm just trying to get a feel for, you know, the situation at the time and what was going on then. So anyway, one had escaped out of Jerusalem, and he came to me saying, the city is smitten. Now the hand of Yahweh was upon me in the evening before he that escaped came, and had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning. And my mouth was opened, and I was no more dumb. Then the word of the Lord, Yahuwah by name, came to me saying, Son of man, they that inhabit those waters of the land of Israel, speak. Sorry, that wasn't waters. They that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel, speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land. But we are many, and the land is given us for an inheritance. Wherefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord Adonai, God, eat, ye eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood. And shall ye possess the land? Ye stand upon your sword, you work abomination, and you defile every one his neighbor's wife. And shall ye possess the land? Say thus unto them, Thus saith Adonai, the Lord God, As I live, surely they that are in the wastes shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beasts to be devoured, that they be in the fort, they that be in the forts, and even in the caves, shall die of the pestilence. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am Yahuwah, when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. Now this reminds me again, and I'm going to drive it home, of the overspreading of abominations which Daniel spoke of before the desolation would come upon Israel and the temple in 70 AD. Yes, that's the time that Daniel was talking about, the overspreading of abominations. It was going to happen again when Daniel spoke of it. That's what was happening here. The nation was overspread with abomination, so much so that the Heavenly Father had no choice but to judge that nation that were called by his name and make an example of them to all the nations round about, and an example for us today in a nation. I'm sitting right now in heavenly places, but about me in the spiritual realm, there is a nation, an image out here that people worship, and it is overspread with abomination. That's right, the overspreading of abomination. Let's rightly divide the word here. Look around you. If your eyes are open, you'll look around and you'll see that the heathen out there in the land of Babylon, in spiritual Sodom and Egypt, yes, the Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Empire that covers the whole earth, what you see is the overspreading of abominations at every turn. They teach the children sodomy and fornication and adultery in the public schools. They teach them disobedience to parents, and the name and the word of our Heavenly Father is banned. And they teach them that his word is old fables and fairy tales. And they believe it because when they read it, they can't understand it because they believe a lie. And they continually follow after mammon, and they put the laws of the image above the law of the Almighty. And that is worship of the image. That is the worship of the beast and its image. So they are all idolaters. That is the overspreading of abominations. Even their the mouth that they chose to represent them for the 4-year period we're in now. He's going around the world and he's telling all the rest of the world, look, we give you money. You want to keep getting money from us? You have to give sodomites rights. They call it gay rights. I say there's nothing gay about it. It's an abomination for them to even appropriate the word gay to that abomination. What a lie. Gay rights are human rights. Well, I'd rather have my rights from the Almighty Creator. They can keep their human rights. They can keep their gay rights. They can keep their civil rights. The overspreading of abomination. They're trying to spread it over the whole earth. Satan and his puppets, the dragon and the beast that he gave the power to, at work in the world today. So when we read Ezekiel, we read about what the Heavenly Father, how he judged his own nation, the nation called by his name, the Yahudi, first. Then he judged all the nations round about after he judged them. So how can we expect to not be judged? Oh, America will stand. Yes, the second beast of Revelation will stand until the Messiah returns. We have that in the word. But the sword is coming. Famine and pestilence are coming because the Heavenly Father deals with nations. And we're reading about how he deals with nations. And many people feel safe because, oh, it'll never touch us. We're Americans and we're in America. But how can you ignore history? History is one long story of how the Heavenly Father has dealt with nations. You cannot close your eyes to that unless you are a fool. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.